Well, finally this morning to Indonesia, where there was yet another rally yesterday with protesters demanding the jailing of Governor Ahok. You probably heard it on AM this morning. Earlier in the day, police had announced they'd arrested eight prominent Indonesians, including the sister of Megawati Sukarno Putri, the former president, also a retired army general and an actress, for alleged treason. President Joko Widodo addressed yesterday's rally, praising people for the peaceful nature of the protest. Now, we've waited till now because we wanted to give Professor Greg Feely, he's Associate Professor of Indonesian Politics at the School of Asia Pacific Affairs at the ANU, we wanted to give him a chance to wake up because it is 4 hours behind in Indonesia, and we wanted to get the very latest. So, look, Greg Feely, thank you so much for joining us at this ungodly hour.
It's a pleasure, Geraldine.
Yesterday's events, which I think a lot of us may have heard on the news, but it was a much bigger crowd than I think people were expecting. Did it surprise you?
It did. I was expecting a smaller crowd because I thought that a lot of people would have been satisfied by the progress in the case to prosecute the Jakarta governor, Ahok. So he was charged a couple of weeks ago, and the police have now handed over all the documentation to the Attorney General's Department, and they have been expediting the processing of that material so that the court case can take place as soon as possible. So this is remarkably quick legal processing in Indonesia.
Yes. But there were some fairly striking things that started to emerge yesterday afternoon, as I understand it, about what people were starting to allow into the conversation about what might happen to him.
Well, there's been a whole lot of things said by various people about what might happened to Ahok. There may be something very specifically you're
referring to. Well, I'll tell you what I heard this morning, I think from the Al Jazeera commentator, that somebody had said that even if he went to jail, he could rule from jail.
That's correct.
I found that all quite remarkable.
Yes, so that's quite correct. So the law, in fact, now that he is a registered candidate, the law does not allow him to withdraw. In fact, he will face a very heavy fine if he does. So even if he goes to court, is found guilty and is jailed for less than, I think, 5 years, he still remains the governor should he be elected. Now, I think it's becoming almost impossible for him to be elected given the size of the public's the rally yesterday.
Do you think that now?
I do think that now. Had the demonstration yesterday been smaller than the demonstration that took place at the beginning of November, I think people may have felt that some of the momentum was going out of the protests and that the issue might quieten down. But in actual fact, that turnout yesterday indicates that public sentiment is, if anything, growing. And so it's going to be, I think, almost impossible to rehabilitate Ahok politically now. But even if he was elected, he would continue as governor. It would be the case that the deputy governor takes over a lot of the functions of the governor, but that's the way the law is in Indonesia.
And yet we'd been told, Greg, until very recently, that in fact the silent majority, quotes of Jakarta, were pro him because of he's been a very active administrator. So something's changed in a week.
Well, in fact, what the polls are saying is that there's quite high approval, very high approval, in fact, for Ahok's performance as governor. The way he's running the city, people see a lot of improvements under him. So one set of figures had that approval rating for his work as governor at 71%, but the number of people who are prepared to vote for him is dropping, and so it's been 34%, but the latest figures having down around the mid to high 20% level. He's currently running second, slightly behind the son of former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. Yeah.
So, what is Widodo going to do then?
I think one of the things he's going to do, he's in general, very supportive of Ahok, and in fact, he needs Ahok to hold that position of governor so that it prevents any possible rivals to Joko Widodo from appearing, because Jokowi doesn't want someone to repeat his path to the presidency, which is become governor of Jakarta, and then that's a springboard for the 2019 presidential election. So while Ahok is in the governor's position, if he were re-elected, that keeps his rivals a bit further away from the palace. He has to now reconsider that because it's just too much political damage. Ahok, unfortunately, has become a toxic political product, and I think we'll see Jokowi taking steps to distance himself as far as he can from Ahok.
So is all this about politics or about religion or culture or what?
There's a lot of debate about that. There's certainly a lot of politics involved in this. There's a lot of groups who are ultimately targeting Jokowi because they have an interest in returning to power. I think we might have spoken last time about the role of Cecilia Bambanyuda Yono in that process. He's been heavily involved in promoting these demonstrations, and many people accuse him of doing a lot behind the scenes to fund it and to help organise it. There's a lot of other players as well who feel that at the moment that Jokowi is almost in an unassailable position, and they want to cut him back a bit in terms of popularity so it makes it possible for other candidates to appear credible. And then that gives them hope for the next round of presidential elections. So there's certainly a lot of politics in it, but I don't think we can explain the size and the emotion at yesterday's rally, or indeed what we see on social media, unless we refer, one, to the religious factor, and two, to the racial factor, the fact that Ahok is a Chinese Christian. He's a member of a double minority.
From Sumatra.
And what's more, he's been a very outspoken member of a double minority. And I think those are two things that often come up in the conversation. I went down to the demonstration yesterday and spoke to quite a lot of people there. And it doesn't take long for those factors to often be mentioned. That the Chinese already dominate the economy in Indonesia. We don't want them dominating the politics, the politics of Indonesia, and we particularly don't want them saying things that are disrespectful to our religion. So there's a very strong undercurrent of that in the sentiment against the Jakarta governor.
And you're implying there that you think now it's more than the usual players like the FDI, you know, with the Islamic yes. Defenders Front. You're saying it's more than that.
Yes, it's a very strange situation, in some ways a very concerning situation, because what you have is some very small, not particularly effective radical Islamic groups or hardline Islamic groups that are leading a huge movement against Ahok. So the Islamic Defenders Front, FDI, is one of those. A number of other groups have membership at the most in the tens of thousands. The mainstream Muslim organisations in Indonesia, like Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah, have tens of millions of members.
Indeed.
But those two big organisations are almost watching from the sidelines. The agenda is being set by these very small populist Islamist organisations, and the fact that President Jokowi would have appeared on the stage with these hardline leaders, that the police chief, national police chief, would have done the same, it gives them a credibility.
So why are they doing it?
They feel as if they have to try and defuse the situation. So for Jokowi appearing on that stage, I'm sure he found that not very pleasant at all, but he felt as if he had to do something to calm the crowd. He was much criticised for refusing to meet the protest leaders a month ago, that he wasn't even in the palace. And I think everyone feels as if they have to try to appease the crowd somewhat, and that means that they've got to be dealing with people who are really very unpleasant, who are saying things that normally wouldn't be part of the mainstream discourse. So, for example, the head of the FBI, the Islamic Defenders Front, Habib Rizik, Shihab, was saying to the crowd yesterday that God's law, Islamic law, is higher than any man-made law, and that means that it doesn't really matter what civil law says. Ahok must be found guilty of a blasphemy.
But that. And, but what about Panchasila, the great constitution, which is allowing a range of faiths and to prevail? I don't know where that's left after this.
Well, indeed, I mean, I think support for Panchasila is most certainly there, and also for the 1945 Constitution. But this is the point, in a way, that when you have the president on stage with someone who has very hardline views like that, it gives them, it certainly gives them a currency and not really an endorsement, but it means that those views are reaching a far greater audience than what they normally would. And they're not representative of mainstream views in Indonesia. The debate about the role of Islamic law in Indonesia has been largely settled. And that was settled when the country was founded in 1945. So that's just one of the aspects of the discourse surrounding the anti-Ahok campaign, because all of these hardline Islamic groups, they're just using the Ahok issue as a door through which they can enter into other domains that suit their political purposes. They want to put Sharia law back on the agenda. They want to restrict the ability of minorities to hold high political office. Lots of things that I suspect there's not a high public appetite for, but that's one of the unfortunate things about this dynamic. If I can add one other thing, Geraldine, I think one consequence of yesterday's even bigger rally, the estimates are between 300,000 to 500,000 people, is that it's a big blow to political diversity in Indonesia, because I think it will make it much harder for people from minorities to hold very senior executive positions, such as being Governor of Jakarta. It won't make it impossible, but it's made it much more difficult. And certainly they cannot mention anything about the majority religion, Islam, if they want to avoid controversies like this, because there are lots of people just waiting to use a religious issue against them.
Greg Feely, that was a very interesting overview, and I very much appreciate your efforts on our behalf. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Geraldine.
Greg Feely, Associate Professor of Indonesian Politics at the Bell School of Asia Pacific Affairs at the ANU, and that is a story to watch.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia. If you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell. Media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.